Please reset your passwords, even if you're not a customer. Now boarding priority and first-class comrades, and so many stats from the ESET Threat Report. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by Huntress's Hackett 22, a series of interactive sessions led by cybersecurity pros and industry favorites to help you better understand threat actors and the tradecraft they use. Running November 14th through 16th, with two chances to catch the content, plus a separate optional zero-day workshop. To register for Hackett 22, visit this Huntress site. Additionally, for a chance to win one of five free zero-day sessions, register at go.oit.co/Hackett22.
Good morning and welcome to the October 11th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Maria Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent, Ray. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm good. I had a fantastic conference last week. Got to do a bunch of speaking events. Got to make a fool of myself on stage. Even did a TikTok with 100 plus people. It was pretty cool. How about yourself, man?
It was good. It was a great weekend. I was a single dad for a whole week. The wife went hiking out in the mountains. The mountains of Florida. Yeah, I know. Both my kids are still alive, so it's great. One of the things they want to do is say, Dad, can we go to like Busch Gardens? I said, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. And then.
Oh, come on, Dad.
I know. Well, here's the best part of Busch Gardens. For those of you who don't know Busch Gardens, amusement park, there's a lot of roller coasters. It's a pretty cool place to be. And we go often. But there was an article that came out that talked about the new iPhone, which by the way is awesome. The new iPhone accidentally calling 911 because you're on a roller coaster. It's their crash detection, which is great in concept. But can you imagine being the 911 operator asking, hey, are you okay? And hearing nothing but screams and screams and screams. Can you imagine that, Ray? That would be...
I would love... So back in a previous life, I worked 9/11 for the state of Miami Police for 10 years. And so like to get a call where people are screaming is not uncommon. That's par for the course. But like, I'd love to see the telemetry on these phones where like you have a bunch of people in one geographic area falling 30 feet at a time. Like...
I have different 911 calls coming at the same time and everyone is screaming at the exact same time, but then there's a nice lull with laughter.
That's awesome. But we're not here for the screams, we're here for the news, so let's do it.
Let's get into the news.
In our top story that you probably heard about this weekend, IT Glue sent multiple emails forcing password resets and causing a little bit of chaos. As of Saturday, emails went out to current and past customers of both IT Glue and MyGlue advising that the passwords would need to be reset, and then subsequent emails advised that the MFA would need to be enabled on the accounts. Par for the course, and this came out of IT Glue's CTO Nadir advising that they had seen an onslaught of credential stuffing attempts, not breaches, just attempts. And on the the cusp of that, they said, let's proactively reset passwords. Sounds pretty good. However, what happened was customers who had closed their accounts, who had requested deletion, my Glue customers, which are meant for the end users of IT Glue customers, also received these same emails, which led to a lot of speculation as to what was happening. Joining us to talk about this story is noted security researcher, president of CNWR, and general yelling at clouds guy, Mr. Jason Slagle. How you doing, Jason?
Oh, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I like to bring you on when there's a security involved story because, you know all the players, you like to deep dive into this. Usually you can get right to the crux of the story. In this case, you're an MSP who, could potentially be affected by this product. One of your vendors emails and says, reset your password. What's the first thought that goes through your head?
How are they breached?
Which is fair, right? I mean, that's the action plan for fair. And I want to be clear, and I forget the gentleman's name. It was Jason. I'm sorry?
Jason Maynard.
Jason Maynard, thank you, came on the cyber call on Monday and advised, because we're releasing this on Tuesday, and advised that there and confirmed, no unclear words, there was no breach whatsoever. This was just a proactive attempt. However, part of the chaos and a lot of the confusion that came out of this was it was current and old customers who had specifically requested data deletion. Customers who had their accounts closed were still able to bypass SSO, single sign-on, even with those things enabled. What does that tell you when you're able to bypass SSO? What's your stance on that? Is it a break classic thing, yeah, or is it
I have a huge issue with this. So we use SSO. We use IT Glue. I will be transparent about that. It would take you 3 seconds to figure that out. So I'm not really hiding anything because you can't be on-prem with it. It really bothers me that I can't disable non-SSO logins, right? So every one of my accounts, like I have techs that I've hired in the past, I don't know, 6-7 months since we've done SSO for IT Glue. They didn't even know they had passwords, right? So now they're like, oh, we don't have to reset. We have SSO, right? And I'm like, no, you have to log in and reset this password that you will never, ever, ever use again. Set it to something ridiculously long and just don't use it elsewhere. But I really struggle with the decision to allow people to bypass SSO.
I'm trying to be respectful and unbiased. We don't have all the information, but say as a vendor, we're on the cusp of our last story last week. We talked about Kaseya finally announced the acquisition of Connect Booster, which
if we Everybody only knew that about in
for
if
more than a year, that is par for the course for Kaseya to hold things back, play it close to the vest. Now, Jason Maynard came out on the cyber call answering, or at least giving some answers to some questions. The quality of those answers, I'll let you go back to the cyber call and watch for yourself. Did it reaffirm any kind of did it reaffirm trust in the company? From an MSP's perspective,
it 100% did not. We had the opportunity to clear the air, right? And we started this whole spiel on the cyber call with like, oh, we believe in 100% transparency. We're being transparent here. Went through and said in no uncertain terms, there was not a breach. There was no individual MSP compromise. There was nothing of the sort. And then his next two answers were very easily provably false, right? So it's like when you tell us there's no SSO bypass, when we all know how to do it. And when you tell us that you delete data, when we all know multiple people that have had data deleted that they were able to get back just by signing back up. It makes it really hard to believe you when you tell me there's not been a breach.
And to be clear, I wanted to make sure we were sticking to the facts because there's a lot of emotion that comes on with the story, anything involving Kaseya. So I wanted to make sure we were sticking to the facts. I am one of the MSPs that used to use IT Glue, and I shut it down 4 or 5 years ago. I did request data deletion. I myself was able to reset my password, and if I wanted to pay the $145, I was able to get my access to my data again. I verified this with screenshots with 4 other MSPs, both in the North American instances and the EU instances. The EU brings in its own can of worms with the emails to my Glue users and with the data that was not deleted in relation to GDPR. We're not attorneys. We're not going to step into that. We're just, if it affects you, go ahead and, you know, research it a little bit, ask the questions that need to be asked. But, you know, we did reach out to MSPs asking about this. And I did reach out to Nadir Merchant, who's the GM and CTO of IT Glue. He was supposed to be on the cyber call on Monday. He was not able to attend. He did not get back to me to my request either to come and speak about this. But, you know, there's lots of questions that we want to hear from the MSP audience. We know we're running long on this despite being an important story. So we want to hear from you. Hit us up in the comments. Hit us up, news@mspmedia.tv, and we will go ahead and discuss it. Jason, any other last thoughts you want to share with us before we let you go?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
Cool. Thanks
no Jason. And in our next story from bleepingcomputer.com, U.S. airports have been taken down in DDoS attacks by pro-Russian hackers. Story by Bill Tolis. The pro-Russian hacktivist group Killnet is claiming large-scale distributed denial-of-service attacks, DDoS, against websites of several major airports in the United States, making them inaccessible. The DDoS attacks have overwhelmed servers hosting these sites with garbage requests, making it impossible for travelers to connect to and get updates about their flights scheduling or their existing booked flights. Notable examples of the airport websites that are currently unavailable include Hartsfield in Atlanta, Georgia, ATL, one of the country's larger Air Force traffic hubs, and Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, which is intermittently offline or very slow to respond. Other airports returning database connection errors include Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, ORD, Orlando International Airport, MCO, and Denver International Airport, DIA, Phoenix Sky Harbor International, PHX, along with some in Kentucky, Mississippi, and Hawaii. In this case, the DDoS attacks do not impact flights, but they do still have an adverse effect on the function of crucial economic sectors, threatening to disrupt or delay associated services. Ray, let's unpack this for a moment, because I feel like we are a front row seat to the imminent, something we've talked about for years. They're now bringing down flight systems. Granted, this is the customer-facing side for booking flights, for checking flight statuses, et cetera. But the next step is very obvious. And we've seen this in Die Hard, Die Hard, and a variety of other movies. I am terrified about this, or should I be? Is it just this weird, I think I referred to it, ambient paranoia that I have about hacking?
You know, it's funny because we talk about in our last story, we talked about having confidence in your vendors. You and I have been at the airport where, you get on time, you go early, you get to your gate, you're rested, and then suddenly you get that alert that your gate is actually the one on the opposite side of the airport. And if you're in Denver, good luck. But, and we've been there. And so it strikes me, far better than attacking the actual infrastructure of the airlines, it would cause much more chaos to attack the booking, the reservations, the websites, the way that the public interacts with those airlines, the way that we get our information. That has the exact same amount of damage as making a plane unable to fly, possibly worse.
Because hurt now the you're money, that's what company. You're saying.
I'm sorry?
Hurt the money, that's what you're saying. Hurt the
money. I mean, I think we need to do this, just grab an RV and, do the RV across the country thing instead of flying. And it makes a lot of sense to me. I hate to say it, because I hate to be rewarding bad behavior, but as an attack vector, it's a smart act. And what we can take away as MSPs and as technologists is just learning the way our counterparts think and how they would possibly attack, and just, protecting those assets. That's what threat research is all about, right?
Maybe because everyone flies at some point, maybe this is a perfect opportunity. This is the perfect inflection point for every MSP out there to talk to their customers and say, there are airports that are struggling right now because of airport attacks. Maybe we should review the cybersecurity hygiene that you have internally. Maybe this is the one thing that everyone can relate to. And I'm really hoping the MSP community out there hears this and would like to hear from you. I mean, is this the opportunity for you? Are there better opportunities to use the shows that we talk about internally to relay them to your customers, to push them just over the precipice and make that first step into cybersecurity review? But we're paranoid here. We like educating. So, Ray, why don't we get into your next story? What do we got for us?
And our third top story is security. It's the ESET Threat Report T2 2022, covering the period of May through August, as reported by Roman Kovach on WeLiveSecurity.com. According to the report, the gang behind Emotet, the world's most famous downloader of malware typically distributed by phishing emails, slowed down its activities in August. Its operators also adapted to Microsoft's decision to disable VBA macros in online documents and focused on campaigns based on weaponized Microsoft Office and link files. The report also showed a sharp decline in RDP, remote desktop protocol attacks. This could be due to the Russian-Ukrainian war, in-office work setup, or better company cybersecurity. However, despite the decline, most RDP attacks in T2 have come from the Russian-based IP addresses. In terms of ransomware attacks, Russia had the highest number of first quarter of 2022 attacks. The numbers may be lower in T2, but the actors have turned their attention to the U.S., Israel, and China. Attacks using DHL and USPS phishing emails have also increased in T2. Finally, due to cryptocurrencies plummeting value, cyber criminals have turned to stealing them instead of mining them. The link to the full report will be in the show notes below. So, Tony, I mean, I'm happy to see a decline in RDP attacks. That's fantastic. My surprise takeaway here was Russia attacking China as opposed to just attacking the U.S. Were there anything there that struck out to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my Bitcoin. It's gone. Someone stole it. So I'm so sorry. What were you saying? You were saying something. Listen, there's no honor among thieves. We all know that. If you really want to see, you know, human, we'll talk the human potential, the gradient of emotions and what humans are capable of, go to a police station or a hospital. It's really that simple. And right now we have a war going on, and there's not just a war in Ukraine, which everyone thinks about. There's a war happening in the undercurrents. We're talking hackers left and right. Who is stealing what? No one knows who's stealing what. And if one hacker group decides to side publicly against another hacker group, then everyone smells blood and they attack. Now, the question, as we referred to in other stories, is moral obligations. Which hacker group is good? Is that, it's like military intelligence, we have a conflicting term. And which one isn't? And we have so many different battles happening, but make no mistake, we have a war going on. And we just so happened to catch a glimpse of this particular story, where now the attacks are coming more focused on the United States, on Israel, as you mentioned, and airports are being brought down, as we just mentioned, we just discussed. There's so many things that are happening. It really depends on not just the lens that you're looking through, but also your perspective. What is your position? Because the war is happening. It's happening everywhere, not just geographically, topically, but so many dimensions underneath that. So I'm curious as to, frankly, how this is all going to turn out. I'm terrified all the time. I'm a little neurotic as it is, and it gives me anxiety attacks the more I think about it. But everything you just talked about signifies a good snapshot of the vastness of the global war that's occurring. So give me your thoughts on this.
I mean, it's interesting. I love the fact that they're just saying, forget mining cryptocurrency at this point. We're just going to steal your cryptocurrency. but to me, that's hackers running things like a business, right? These malicious actors running things like they're saying, okay, our best ROI, our best return on investment is this vector versus this vector. And, you know, going after certain markets and going after certain victims or potential victims, depending on how well your MSP is protecting you. It's interesting to me. I always say there's a good takeaway out of everything, no matter how bad it is. In something like this, I'll take the win that RDP attacks are down. I know for a fact, I'd love to say RDP attacks are down because we're finally closing 3389 and finally closing 3390. However, we've been doing this show way too long for me to ever think that. So it just means they're attacking us less. The only gotcha, I think, is we need to worry about having a false sense of security, because it could come really strong back in the next quarter, right? In the next September through December. So let's stay on our toes. Let's stay vigilant and don't let them get us. But let us know what you're doing. Are you seeing a decrease in attacks? Maybe we'll reach out to SaaS Alerts or BlackPoint, see if they're seeing some decrease, and since they have higher visibility than the average MSP. But let us know in the comments below. What are you seeing? But Tony, we got some notable mentions, right?
We do. And in my first notable mention on CBSNews.com, Meta warns as many as 1 million Facebook users may have had their logins compromised. In Menlo Park, California, Facebook's owner, Meta, is warning users that as many as 1 million of their users have possibly been compromised due to malicious Android and Apple apps designed to steal Facebook personal logins. A Meta spokesperson said the company is reaching out to users who may be at risk. The applications are disguised as games, photo editors, and health and lifestyle services. And in my next notable mention, on TheVerge.com, subjecting workers to webcam monitoring violates privacy. A Florida headquartered company has been ordered to pay about $73,000 US in compensation and other fees after firing a Netherlands-based remote worker who refused to keep their webcam on all day. But when the employee refused, saying that leaving their webcam on for 9 hours a day made them feel uncomfortable and it was an invasion of their privacy, the company dismissed them, citing refusal to work and insubordination.
In my first notable mention, Fortinet CVE 2022-40684, as reported by Sergio Gatlan on bleepingcomputer.com. Fortinet has notified admins to update FortiGate firewalls, FortiProxy web proxies, and FortiSwitch managers, otherwise known as FSWM, on-premise management platforms to the latest versions to address a critical vulnerability tracked as CVE 2022-40684. The flaw is an authentication bypass on admin interfaces that could allow threat actors to log into unpatched devices. According to the company, because of the ability to exploit the flaw remotely, Fortinet has strongly recommended all customers with vulnerable versions to upgrade immediately. The company has also recommended that customers who cannot immediately deploy security updates limit IP addresses that can reach the admin interfaces using a local IN policy. It is also advised select customers to disable internet-facing HTTPS administration, which is always a good call. At the time of the report, Fortinet refused to give details on whether the vulnerability was exploited in the wild. Other researchers have advised that no proof of concept has been seen in the wild, which is why this was not a top story. In my second notable mention, Samsung phones go boom. In 2016, thanks to defective batteries, Samsung's 2016 Galaxy Note 7 became a major subject of jokes and the cause of legitimate fires. Despite the company's best efforts, it couldn't handle the Note 7's battery issues. It had no choice but to recall the defective phones and change its battery supplier. Samsung released a new batch of phones, only to have it officially discontinued after 2 months because of the battery issue persisted. Fast forward to this year, Samsung's battery issue is slightly different as it affects any Samsung phone as recently as 18 months old that is not used or charged regularly. Galaxy S6, Galaxy S8, Galaxy Note 8, Galaxy S10 5G, Galaxy S10e, Galaxy Z Fold 2, and Galaxy S20 FE. The problem may not be exclusively Samsung's phones because other phone brands use the same kind of batteries, lithium ion. However, according to the reports, Samsung devices have this issue more often than not. Samsung is requested to collect the damaged phones, but failed to follow up with customers within 2 months.
And in our community events on October 10th through the 12th, we have an in-person event, GlueX, in Miami Beach, Florida, on October 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Build It Better discussion presented by Everything MSP on October 13th through the 14th. Another in-person event, GrrrCon, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And on finally, on October 14th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by yours truly and Ray Orsini on the MSP Media Network.
And if you didn't watch last week's drop, don't forget to check out 3838 featuring our own Tony Francisco in the latest episode.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week long, and some of these very stories came from there? You can propose your own stories and we'll vote on which ones we cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we lived, we laughed, we loved, we cried. We may have gotten breached. I'd say all in all, pretty good episode,
man. Oh, there's no screams on the phone for 911 calls. I think we're in a good spot as it is. Great seeing you as always, brother.
I think the best way to say bye is grab your iPhone 14 and go, woo, woo.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Please reset your passwords, even if you're not a customer. Now boarding, priority first. It's going to be one of those days. All right.
Oh, he's on mute. This is so good. It makes me, it's so,
which is fine because I was sighing anyway, and it was like I'm trying to figure out how to ask this. So
I got to be honest with you. I love Jason's ambient annoyance. Like everyone has an ambient state of paranoia, but he has an ambient annoyance. It's just there. It's like, why? How do I get to that level? Okay. Okay, here we go. Everyone's on mute. I still hear people. The pro-Russian hacktivist group Killnet is claiming large-scale distributed denial of service attacks against websites of several major airports in the United States, making them unacceptable. Oh, I have to take that from the beginning. I was repeating this over. It's a tongue twister. I'm going to go back over it. Ready? In this case, the DDoS attacks do not impact flights, but they still have an adverse effect on the functionality of crucial economic components and the threat to disrupt or dislit. One more time.
ESET T2 2022 report covers the months of May through August. Okay, that's not second half then, is it? Why are they making up words? All right. Anyway, sorry. I hate acronyms when they don't describe it. Let me start from the top. The link to the full report will be in the show notes below. Just get right into the notables. Easy.
Oh. 3 minutes, though. No?
Huh?
We have 3 minutes left on it.
What?
Yeah, that's a top story. So we have 3 minutes left.
Oh. Listen, I have spoken. Done. Done. Yes, 50-something episodes in, and I'm still learning how to do this. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Listen, when I say there's a report, there's a report. Boom, I'm out.
Yeah.
In our first notable, in our... Blah, blah, blah.